some really exciting stuff.
And if I don't say so myself, it's on? Yeah. Got some very exciting, very interesting material this evening. The topic is Tisha B'Av Tshuvas. I want to focus primarily on Limud HaTorah and Sheila Shalom. And depending on the time permit, I have some other interesting stuff as well on the Tisha B'Av restrictions. And at the end of this year, whoever wants, I have some copies of my new Sefer that came out last week. I didn't make a big deal of it because it was 9 days. I didn't want to really announce it. I didn't put on the emails or anything like that. But Baruch Hashem, a new Sefer came out. And it's available at a special price for those who want it. It's free for just 80 shekels. That's all. There you go, sir. Okay. We got some really unique stuff this evening. Let's begin with Limud HaTorah and the Gemara Tainus Daf Lamed. Sorry, I didn't do page 1, page 2 properly, but it's on the page that actually says Tainus Daf Lamed Amud Aleph on the top right-hand corner. Famous piece of Gemara. V'aster likros b'Torah b'nevi'im u'b'ktuvim. It's forbidden to read from Scripture. U'l'shanois b'mishnah, or to read Mishnah. Talmud, or Midrash, or Halachos, or Agados. These texts are forbidden. But listen, get this. He can read that area of Scripture that you're not familiar with, right? None of us are, most of us, I'm not too familiar with, let's say, the minor, Divrei Hayamim, right? We're not familiar with Divrei Hayamim. So generally, according to this, you'd be able to read Divrei Hayamim on Tisha B'Av. Vishonu b'makom she'en ragil lishnos. I don't know, most people aren't familiar with Kinim and other Masechtas of Mishnah, Taurus and Kochim. So you would be permitted, I'm sorry this got rubbed out, but this is Divrei Rebbe Meir. Do you have a sheet? According to Rebbe Meir, you are allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av any Torah that you are unfamiliar with. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Af Einokor B'Makom Shein Ragil Ikros. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees very strongly, and you are not blanketly permitted to learn those Torahs that you are unfamiliar with. And you cannot learn areas of Mishnah that you aren't familiar with. And that Halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. But it's very interesting that Rabbi Meir, it's explained that Rabbi Meir permits Torah if any area that you're unfamiliar with because of the frustration of cracking into a new text. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds it's different because Rabbi Yehuda holds, no, it's pleasurable. Even cracking into unfamiliar texts is pleasurable because of the academic progression of your entrance into new areas of knowledge. This is the machloikas. And what we're going to see very interestingly is that the prohibition of Torah study on Tisha B'Av is an intellectual and physical prohibition. It's actually quite surprisingly disconnected and unrelated to any spiritual value or spiritual benefit whatsoever. This is unbelievable. You're about to see Let's do the tour first. Before we go to that famous Bach, exciting Bach in the Taz, let's do the tour actually. The tour says, Rabbeinu Peretz Kostov. The tour is quoting Rabbeinu Peretz. U'bepirush Eicha, avalo pirush Iyuv. The tour brings Rabbeinu Peretz that forbids us to study Pirushim, permits us to study Pirushim on Eicha, but we are forbidden to study, according to this opinion, Pirushim on Sefer Iyuv. Vishum Dhavi Amuk Tfei. Because it's very deep, right? Obviously, Rabbi Beinu Peretz believes that Eicha, it's easy. So you can learn Pirushim on Eicha. But if you go deep, getting deep into something, even if it's Iyuv, brings excitement. And that's where Rabbi Beinu Peretz forbids even the study of Iyuv on Tisha B'Av. Oh, but Shuvos Maharil. Yes, I'm sorry, it wasn't clear, absolutely. The Sefer, Eicha and Iyuv, everyone agrees you can read. But going into Pirushim in depth, Rabbeinu Peretz holds only Eicha, but Iyuv you're not allowed to because the Pirushim and Iyuv are deeper than normal, it seems. And this brings you some kind of simcha. Whereas the Pirushim on Eicha do not. They're not as deep. And I continue, B'tshuvas Maharil, and the Torah quotes the Maharil, Kasuv l'mod b'tisha b'av. Regarding learning on Tisha B'Av, Pirushim Yahu b'Iyuv, lo yadati b'manistapek Adoni. I don't know why Rabbeinu Peretz, the Maharil is saying, I don't know why Rabbeinu Peretz is making a chiluk between Eicha and Iyuv. The chalak between a pirush ve'akriya. What's the difference if you're going to go in depth or simply read the psukim? Atu b'shuftani askinan. Are we dealing with morons? She'ena mevini ma shemotzi mipiem, that don't understand what they're reading, meaning if it's a pasuk or it's a depth, it's sad, it's iyu. V'im yishum sheyesh bo iyu, and if you're going to tell me because there's depth, mikol sheken da'adif, it should be even more permissible. He's really saying Rabbi Peretz might have it wrong, because if you're going into depth in these sad things, it should be even more permissible. Because even Rabbi Meir, we don't follow, but even Rabbi Meir's matir afil einam tochacha likros v'lish l'shanois b'malchum sheino ragil. Rabbi Meir, who permits us to read any Torah that we're unfamiliar with, because of the frustration of new texts and new ideas. The apple gave the Kaiman Karihud, even though we passed the Karihuda, me call Makom Hasim, the Komad Mitzar Lelamdo, Miskasha Tfe Adif. How much more so that if it's deep and it's difficult and it's sad, it should be permitted according to holidays.
He's assuming here you're not Rogiel to go in depth in these texts. Someone normally would go in depth into each.
But he's saying Kavachomer if you're not normally going to depth. And death brings frustration. And it's sad frustration. How much more so should be permissible?
But if someone does, sort of does go into depth all year long, so his kavakoma wouldn't apply that.
It seems that the Ma'aril holds that any depth of any area of Torah that brings sadness is permissible. No, Yom, you disagree?
No, I think what he's saying is well taken, is that he's only being mafia because he's assuming that you're familiar with the Purush Ma'aril. Somebody is familiar with them, it's not clear that the Ma'aril is being matir.
I think the Ma'aril is saying Kal V'Chomer if you don't understand it and it's deep. I think he's using the Kal V'Chomer that for sure you can learn it. And Ma'aril wants to say even more so, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, you should be allowed to learn it.
What if you do, what if you are familiar with it?
You're allowed to read it as well. According to Ma'aril, yes. The Ma'aril just wants you to read sad stuff. The fact that it's deep is a stronger reason to allow it. Because death brings frustration. Until you finally figure it out. That's how I understand the Ma'aril. Oh, that's the Bach and the Taz. Okay, you got it. You're on the right track. But according to Ben Peretz, it's Aser because depth brings some kind of joy, the joy even of Iyuv. But the Ma'aril says, what are we talking about? The material, it depends on the material. The material is sad, the Ma'aril says, it's permissible. And if there's death involved, Kal V'Chomer should be permissible because of the frustration that accompanies this sadness. Okay, so moving right along to the Bach, of course everything is in Taf Kuf Nun Dalet. And the Bach really shows us that the whole exercise of what Torah is permissible and what Torah is forbidden is dependent on the mind, on the intellect, and is unconnected to any spiritual value or spiritual result of learning Torah on Tisha B'Av. So we're going to see that the Bach explains that for different types of people, different types of Torah is forbidden. It's not blanketly, according to the Bach, this area is permissible and this area is forbidden. We're going to see that the Bach says that adults are forbidden to study any Torah that brings happiness. Why? Because for adults, it's the content that is the defining factor whether you're happy or not. But the Bach says for children it's different. The Bach wants to say children cannot learn any Torah on Tisha B'Av. Why? Because what's the joy for children? Children don't understand the depth of Torah. Let's say grade school children. What makes kids happy? When they can read a pasuk and explain a pasuk and translate a pasuk and read it clearly, that brings them joy. They don't care if they're reading Bereishis, Bara, Elokim, Shemayim, Zara. It's like the Zilberman method. Imagine the classrooms, right? The Zilberman classrooms where the kids are saying psukim. And a boy reads Bereishis, Bara, Elokim, Shemayim, Zara. He says it very clearly and explains it nicely. Or he says, the Charav based Mikdashenu Batifarteinu. He doesn't understand the difference. He wants to accomplish his accomplishment is reading the words clearly. For an adult, doesn't matter if you read it or not. It's our intellect. It's the content that defines for us what's permissible and what's forbidden on Tisha B'Av. Let's see this Bach inside. It was unbelievable. Uba Perik Basra the Tainus, which we just read. I vayim perushal come and raise him in Taf Kuf Nun Hey Mashkasu. We know it's Ron Shokhanor, but Tinoko shall be Rabban Betalim. The children do not learn Torah on Tisha B'Av. Halosh and Mashmash afil bedvarim haraim. The Bach brings out that the fact that the Shulchan Aruch blanketly forbids children from learning Torah, it's Mashma any Torah. Quite logical. Afil bedvarim haraim. Shabir Yirmiyahu. Kinos. The Eo. Asur. All of it's forbidden for children. But lo yadana daima mai. And what's the reason? We don't know the reason. The Efshar, we can explain the reasons like this. The tinoko she'ein mevinim betul mashemotzi mipehem. The kids don't know what's coming out of their mouth. They don't know if they're reading Bereishis or they're reading Churban, they're reading the Tillim, they don't know. The Iker Simchasam, the Iker Simcha by a child, the Masha Yodin Betuv Lahakros. They're happy that they can read. Roshei Aparshios, okay? They're just happy they can read. Ein lechalik behen bein b'divrei nechamos l'dvarim haroim. Whether it's comforting Torah or sad Torah, it makes no difference. Kids are forbidden. Because the pleasure the kids derive from Torah is the same pleasure no matter what area of Torah they study. Aval atinok shegila midazu shemevin. A child that gets to the stage where he understands, I guess that's us to us adults, Mashu Omer, that you know what you're saying. When it gets to the intellect, gets to understanding, you're allowed to study those areas of sadness, of evil, gloom. You know the Torah is forbidden because we have the famous pasuk that says the Torah study brings simcha. And that's why Gedolim too are forbidden from reading Divrei Nechamos. Some go as far as to say that the Psukim of Nechama, if you're going to learn your Miyahu on Tisha B'Av, skip the Psukim of Nechama. Most Ashkenazi authorities say you don't have to, but there is a Shita like that. Ad Kedei Kach, they get to a Pasuk of Nechama, skip it. She calls him Mishum Simcha, he, Shenemar, Tekudei Hashem, etc., etc. So we see that the Bach is Mechalak very nicely, fascinatingly. That by children it's a blanket prohibition, by adults it depends on content. Because Torah means different things to different people. Now it's very interesting, so we see it has nothing to do with the soul. If you go and read, you can go according to the Bach, and according to perhaps the Maharil, for sure Rabbi Meir, and read Zohar. Open up any Zohar on Tisha B'Av and start reading because you don't know what you're saying. There's no intellectual pleasure, no intellectual enjoyment. Most of us are not quite fluent in the Aramaic of the Zohar, and we're allowed to do it. And what's a great riot to this? So Rav Avadia Yosef allows the Siyum Erev Pesach on Zohar, even if you don't understand it. If you take a Sefer of Zohar, maybe it's even a Parsha, for sure a Sefer of Chumash, it could even be a Parsha, I have to look it up again, but he definitely says, let's call it a Sefer of Chumash. You read it from the Zohar, word for word, you don't understand a single word, you still get to make a Siyum Erev Pesach and eat. Why? Because the spiritual value of reading Torah is enough for a Siyum Erev Pesach. Kam Tisha B'Av, that's not enough. Spiritual value is not in the equation for regarding what's permissible and what's forbidden on Tisha B'Av. It's the mind, Rabbi Yisai. It's the mind. Unbelievable Chiddush. The Taz has something quite similar, also fascinating, fascinating piece. Let me just tell you outside what the Taz says. The Taz explains like this. The Taz discusses why are new topics, unfamiliar areas, forbidden on Tisha B'Av. Remember, Rabbi Meir in the Gemara held that unfamiliar topics are permissible. We don't paskin like Rabbi Meir. And the Taz explains why. Because when you learn new topics, new material, there's two aspects to it. There's joy and frustration. What's the joy? The joy is you're going to know more Torah. You're going to be smarter than you were 5 minutes ago. The frustration is cracking your teeth on the new text. So according to the Taz, you're not allowed to learn new material on Tisha B'Av because the joy that comes later on outweighs the frustration. Okay? And the Taz brings an unbelievable proof for this. Listen closely, this is a wow. Okay, listen closely to the Taz's proof that the joy and the frustration outweigh each other. The joy that comes from the Torah study, even though it's unfamiliar, is the frustration, even though it's unfamiliar, is outweighed by the joy of the knowledge. What's his raya? Get this. His raya is from a Gemara in Moed Katan that permits ladies to have painful facial beauty procedures on Chol HaMoed. Why? Because even though the procedure on Chol HaMoed is painful, the beauty and the joy that the ladies feel that they're now going to be beautiful justifies on Chol HaMoed. We see that the joy that comes in the long run justifies it now. You would exactly. The end's perfect. The end justifies the means. Yontif, Chol HaMoed, you can't have pain. It's Yontif. But we're going to see that the procedure the lady was to do for their beauty, the end justify the means. The joy they're going to feel make it permissible on Chol HaMoed to do these painful beauty treatments. So too, the Taz wants to say, this is a raya, that on Tisha B'Av, the frustration is outweighed by the joy that will come later, having amassed, gained new knowledge. So at the little bet, in the middle, the Taz, smack in the middle, Kimat, there's a bet over there, and the Taz says like this, Upirush Elu Megalchin, the Gemara, Pligi, Rabbi Meir, what does it say over there? Sirle the Kore Yeshona the Chol Makom. You can read the Chol Makom She'ino Ragyo. you're allowed to study when you're an avil any area of Torah and Tisha B'Av as well that you're not ragil, that's unfamiliar. Why? Mipnei shetzar hulo. It's painful. It's frustrating to learn new material. But re'oser apazev. Rabbi Yehuda has asked this, as we know in the Gemara in Tainus. V'ilchas like of a saying, we follow Rabbi Yehuda. V'tzarich letetam be'emes lama oser Rabbi Yehuda sharei yesh lo tzar. So the Taz wants to say, let us explore this for a moment. Why is Rabbi Yehuda forbidding these new areas of text? The reality is it's tzar. So why is Rabbi Yehuda forbidding it? V'nir etamo, it seems that Rabbi Yehuda's reason, mipnei sof halimud de'achar sheyatriach atzmo, the long run, at the end of the day, after you work hard at a text, v'yavi napshat, you understand it, yelo simcha, you'll be happy, you'll have joy. V'azla basar sofa, we go according to the ends. The milsa, as far as Hu'ashin Chambedya, we find the same idea, the re savar leken le'inyan, we see from a different place the same idea. The Hainu of Parakama, the Moed Kotten Daf Tes. Rebbe can't make it out. Lo Tasid Isha Paneya Bemoed. There's a Shita that a woman should not do a facial on Chol HaMoed. Umode Rebbe Seed. But regarding the seed, Rabbi Yehuda says, regarding the seed, she Yechola Lekaplo Bemoed. She's allowed to do these facial treatments on Moed. She Tofeles Bemoed. And she can do it on Chol HaMoed. Af agav she'achshav havia mitzera, even though it's painful now, this procedure, this beauty procedure, it's painful. Hismecha la'achar zman. The lady's happy that in a week or a day or whatever it takes for these beauty treatments to take effect, she will be beautiful. La'achar zman. V'huva le'el b'dvareinu simen tafkuf memvav. Hachinam yazin and basar asof. It all goes according to the end. The yashimcha. The Asur. And that's why in Tisha B'Av it's Asur, because in the end you'll have Simcha, even though now it's frustrating. Now, so that's the Taz. The Taz says you have joy and frustration learning new texts. The joy outweighs the frustration. Now the Chochma Shlomo, which I didn't get for the page, for this handout over here, but the Chochma Shlomo is on the same page in most Shulchan Aruch. The Chochma Shlomo has a different angle than the Taz. Very fascinating, very interesting approach. The Chochma Shlomo says right there on the page, he says something different. He says, what's the joy and frustration component to learning new Torah texts? The Taz says that the joy you have in the future outweighs the frustration, and therefore it's forbidden. But Chochma Shlomo takes a different approach. He says the joy and the frustration neutralize each other. And on Tisha B'Av, neutral is no good. You have to have sad. And that's why the Chochma Shlomo says, even when there's joy and frustration, it's forbidden. Okay, it's not because one will outweigh the other. That's because a mamish equally outweigh the other, and you're back to neutral. Neutral is forbidden on Tisha B'Av. You have to have sad. Even so, it will still be permitted on Chol HaMoed, because neutral is permissible on Chol HaMoed. If something has joy and frustration, the neutrality is enough to be matar on Chol HaMoed. On Tisha B'Av, the Chochma Shlomo says it's not. It has to be sad. According to Chochma Shlomo, you can't just daydream on Tisha B'Av. That's right. Yeah. Active engagement and sadness. Absolutely. Okay. So there you have the Taz Chochma Shlomo. I was so excited learning this, that the fine nuances between the Taz and Chochma Shlomo I found very exciting. There's a Magen Avram also on the same page. I didn't get it for you. But we learn out from the Shulchan Aruch that a Rav is forbidden to issue halachic rulings on Tisha B'Av. But Magen Avram has an exception. What if you have litigants? Is that the word when two people are fighting each other? You have litigants who, for whatever reason, have no other day to solve their dispute other than on Tisha B'Av. So Magen Avraham says it's mutter. The Rav is allowed to assemble his Beis Din, and he's allowed to hear the disputes on Tisha B'Av. Why? Because dispute resolution, shalom between people, outweighs the avails of Tisha B'Av. It's not clear in the Magen Avraham black and white, but others say that's what Magen Avraham means. That the shalom, to bring shalom between people, to resolve a dispute, is mutter even on Tisha B'Av. You can assemble and have Torah, but shalom. I mean, we can get into the value of shalom on Tisha B'Av, the 3 weeks, sinas chinam, avas chinam, but mamash, it's like, wow, I found it amazing. They see it on the page of Shulchan Aruch, the importance of avas chinam and making shalom, even on Tisha B'Av. Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
That's not good.
If both litigants are tzaddikim, they're mekabel sadin, an ideal world, right? An ideal world. I think Rav Milinowitz once told a story where one of the litigants said, who was guilty, "Thank you, Rav, I just wanted the Torah approach. I wanted the Das Torah," something like that.
Rav Milinowitz. What about the Aruch Chavera disputes? Someone's got to help us Shabbos Shiloh.
So then, because Magen Avraham seems it's a mamonos chashem mishpat. This seems to be from Magen Avraham. Okay, so that was also very, very interesting. Let us turn the page for a moment, where I have a continuation of Torah related stuff, and I have a Chacham Sofer over here that's fascinating, as you'll see on the bottom, the left hand side of the page, also related to Limud Torah on Tisha B'Av. So the question is, and before we look at it, don't cheat. Anybody have any ideas why the Isser of Limud Torah becomes forbidden from Chatzos Erev Tisha B'Av? I only found the Chasam Sofer's answer, so I'm not playing devil's advocate. Does anyone have any other answers? I only saw the Chasam Sofer, and for all these years, I never really thought about it, and it's the only answer I found this year. Anybody? Right, so that's what Chasam Sofer says. But I never saw black on white. I mean, anybody know of any other sources, any ideas? Okay, so let's see the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says, it's Tshuva Kuf Nun Vav in Orachaim, Yekarasu Giyani, your letter, your honor, I received it. Shaul Bishtein, you asked two questions. So Aleph, here's the first question. Ishapir lahakil kihilos berabim. Is it permissible to gather the congregation together? B'tisha b'av shachal b'shabbos. We have a tisha b'av nidche. A lot of machlokes, what are the halachas on Erev Shabbos tisha b'av, on a tisha b'av is nidche? So the question the Chasam Sofer is being asked, can you gather the congregation together on a tisha b'av nidche? Kedark and shalisu b'chol Shabbos. Like every Shabbos, you get together, I guess probably referring to the Pirkei Avos, or whatever the congregations get together for in those places. Oh, lo! So, lo ne'elam yimenu divrei ha-magen Avraham, tov simen taf kuf nun gimel, v'hu k'demesupik yesh lo din Tisha B'Av. There's a doubt what the halacha is for Tisha B'Av, the Aser Medina b'Talmud Torah, on such a Shabbos, b'dvarim shebetzina noheg. But in private, on such a Shabbos, you do keep Tisha B'Av. Or maybe because it's a nidcha, everything is nidcha, even in private. But it's a big machlokes, you have marriage relations on a Shabbos Tisha B'Av, which is nidcha. This is, you see the machlokes. Do we say in Tzina, you keep? Or do we say, no, even in Tzina, you don't keep? It's not Tisha B'Av for any purpose. V'dino ki Erev Tisha B'Av. And what about the Erev Tisha B'Av concept, component? V'einu aser ela mechatzos v'lemayla minhag ba'alma. And the Chasam Sofer says, by the way, it's very interesting, that's a minhag. Apparently, according to the Chasam Sofer, not din. It's a minhag not to learn Torah, happy Torah from Chatzos Hayom tomorrow. V'hine tam haminag lo nisparish. It's not clear why. Lefi anias daiti, the Chasam Sofer says. V'shum dekol masher lo min mechatzos ve'elech. Anything you learn from midday on, every day. Adai machshavto alav v'yirhuro gabei belayla. Your thoughts are upon it, and you're pondering it even at night. V'nichnas avel keshu sameach. And you come into Tisha B'Av happy. I get this, Rabbi Yisrael, it's unbelievable. That when you learn eight, if you learn Torah at 12:46, whatever, Chatzos is something like that, 8 hours later, let's call it 8 o'clock to be make things, right, even, easy. 8 hours later, you're still in Hurim, unhappy stuff, you go into Tisha B'Av happy. That's amazing.
Yeah. Actually, on similar lines, say a person gets so caught up in learning that they keep going.
You go on 8 hours all the way into Tisha B'Av.
Yafet,
another answer. It's another answer.
Like, oh, look at that, it's already Tisha B'Av.
Yafet.
It's like the Chodom. They were learning in the morning, learning, and they forgot what to put the few times.
Right.
They're so deep in learning.
Yafet. Yafet meod. I like it. I like it.
It says you dream at night about what you're
doing today. Yeah. But forget dreams, it's with you. We have to be more sensitive to this, Rabbi Yisrael. What we learn from here, we have to be more sensitive that we learn the Igeres HaRamban, which is found in the end of many Siddurim, says exactly that. That you will get up from your learning session, you have to review what you learned and carry it with you. Something somewhat similar is the idea of the happiness of what you learn goes into the night. Very interesting that the Poskim say, what's the reason you should take a shower as close to Shabbos as possible every Friday? It's because it says the happiness, the pleasure you feel from being clean is not right when you come out of the shower. It's an hour later when you're dressed and on with your way again that you appreciate being clean. Therefore, you should take your shower as soon as possible as close to Shabbos, because as soon as you get a shower, you don't get pleasure. And by the time you get to shul and sit for mincha, then you feel unclean, you get pleasure from it. Similar idea, very interesting. Ad kan limud haTorah. Questions, comments, concerns, criticisms?
No.
I'm sorry? It's a very interesting thing you bring up. Are those things which are part of the Seder, your Seder every day, permissible on Tisha B'Av or not? Like the korbanos and the, right? It seems to be that what's regular, part of the tefillah, is permissible on Tisha B'Av because we say that when things recited by rote, don't bring the simcha as things are studied for intellectual.
Well,
that's more of a prayer, limud haTorah bichlal. Limud haTorah. Especially you say the tefillah related to the Churban. Tefillah la'asaf, al namas bavel, v'chulei. For sure it's mutter. Recommended practice. L'chayra shouldn't be a problem. You have to ask a rav, but it's more to me a tefillah than a limud haTorah. Related to this is, can you say the parshas of tefillin? When you bring your tefillin mincha, you have to say parshas. Most posts come out okay, but some say that if the Kadesh Liba Kol Bechor, some people don't say it every day. But on Tisha B'Av you say it because you want to kill time. So if you only do it because you want to kill time, you shouldn't say it because that's new Limud haTorah and bring Simcha. But if it's more by route, you say the four parshas and you're filling every single day, then you could indeed say it at Mincha time. Okay? Same idea. I hope I mean, it's route, unfortunately. Whatever. It's route. There's a thought slightly related to this. There's a very big machloikis where you should answer Amen every morning after Aboicher b'Moistol be'Ava before you say Shema. Shulchan Aruch seems to say you should not say Amen. And some of the eitzot given is to end the bracha with the chazan or to start Shema before the chazan ends. But the Ramah says you are allowed and should say Amen after Aboicher b'Moistol be'Ava Amen and say Shema. So maybe you can say like this. Very often, especially on Shabbos, depending on where you daven, you have to say Shema beforehand. Because you're going to miss the Zman Kriyat Shema by the time you get to davening. So if you said Shema before the Zman Kriyat Shema, you're Yoytid Mitzvah Shema. When it comes 9:20, when you're shul, where you're davening, gets the Shema, it's no longer the Mitzvah Shema. It's just Limud haTorah. So I wanted to say that perhaps, if you want to be Machmer, like it sounds so funny, you got to be more Machmer than Ramah. But if you want to be Machmer, maybe when you're davening Shachris for the purpose of fulfilling Kriyat Shema. Mom is the first time saying Shema that day. Maybe then you shouldn't answer Amen. But at a time, a situation where you already said Shema, you're davening Shachris after Sosman Kriyat Shema, there's Mom is no reason in the world, in my opinion, why you shouldn't answer Amen if you're an Ashkenazi. That's my two cents. You made me think of that. I daven Ish Kodesh on Shabbos morning, and most of the winter we miss Kriyat Shema. Okay. I'm sorry? Both. You missed everything, yeah. Yeah, you missed everything. Yeah, if you daven Eish Kodesh in the winter months, you have to say Shema before davening. Personally, I like to eat something before I daven, so I have to say Shema anyways. So a whole year, I'm okay with that.
What about Shema? Friday night? Friday night, so you're in the middle of davening a little earlier. You say Shema in a suffix.
Right, same idea. I think there you should say Amen.
No. But then normally, you repeat Shema later, time suffering.
Well, what's something? Hang on, before Shkia, after Shkia, before Seis, after Seis.
Let's say between
Shkia
and Seis. Maybe you're Yotzei Mitzvah some days, yes, some days, no. Maybe you're already Yotzei Mitzvah Shema. So now you want to speak time suffering, you say it again. Normally, you say, even when I was Yotzei, it's okay, it's Talmud Torah, I can still go ahead and say Shema. But now you don't want to have the Talmud Torah. Now your only Heter to say it again is Al Stamitz of Krishna.
Only Heter, but
so
okay.
You say it again. Look, you can't say Talmud Torah.
Again?
You're talking
about Tisha B'Av, I'm sorry. You're talking about Shabbos, I'm sorry.
Tisha B'Av night.
So nobody in this town davens before it says Kavim.
Okay, so there are plenty other places, certainly America, yeah. Right, where you're going to daven Marv.
That's a very good challenge. It's very interesting.
Right, so
you got to make sure not to be Yotze.
When you're Yotze, you're not the first time.
It's very good. It's very good. It's very good. In these places, you should be careful. It's either yes or no. You really shouldn't have that. They say, after 18 minutes after Shki or 22 minutes, you're Yotze Shema, even though for Shabbos we didn't do Malacha. Okay. Very good, that's interesting. That's an interesting angle. Okay, let's go to Shela Shalom. It's one of my favorites on Tisha B'Av. What is forbidden to say to your neighbor on Tisha B'Av morning, and what is forbidden to say to your friend? I'm sorry, we're on the photocopy, only the English came out. But the Hebrew is Ein Shela Shalom Lechavero B'Tisha B'Av V'Het Yoto She'ena Yodim V'Nosnim Shalom M'Shivin Lahem B'Saf Arapo B'Kovid Rosh. That we don't greet our fellow, ain't Shela Shalom, this is a key word for the evening. There's no Shela Shalom on Tisha B'Av. Okay? And Hedyotos, which by the way is probably an etymological father of idiot, hediotot, idiot. She'enim yodim, they don't know this halacha. V'notim shalom, they say to you shalom or shalom aleichem. Meshivim lehem b'safarapa, answer them with a covered rosh in a very serious way. So we see that halacha, there's no shalat shalom, but what is shalas shalom? Is it good morning? Is it shalom aleichem? So let's take a look at the Ber Heitev in Hilchas Avelis, Yoredeya Shin Pei Hei. And the Ber Heitev says like this, Ef shalomar kivan shirov shalas shalom shalanu. The Ber Heitev is saying that most of the time when we do shalas shalom, and make no mistake, I think this is talking about shalom aleichem. When we say shalom aleichem to another person, Ber Heitev is going to say, it's meaningless. We have no thought or feeling when we say shalom aleichem, sadly. So, kivun shirov shalat shalom shalanu eina ela shomer tzafra tava. Our shalom aleichem, which is supposed to be a very holy greeting, contains God's name, is no more than good morning, the Ber Heitev says. That's mussar, I think, that we've taken shalom aleichem so lightly. It's like, how you doing? And sadly, when people say, how you doing, they don't really mean it. They don't really care. The person stops and says, how are you? That's something else. Hi, how you doing? We know they don't really care how you're doing. They don't want to hear how you're doing. They just say it because that's nimus. That's nimusim. So the Ber Heitev is saying, ad kdei kach, we've fallen so low that even when we say shalom aleichem to another person, it's as low as good morning. It doesn't have the kedusha of what shalom aleichem should. Bezeh mutter. So he wants to say that our shalom aleichem is mutter on Tisha B'Av, she'eino shelat shalom mamish, which is not the real shelat shalom. Kaditha v'yisosef, or Rechaim Simon Pei Tes, over there, it's allowed to say good morning before you daven shachris. Okay, the view b'shulchan aruch sham, and the shulchan aruch quotes himself in the Beis Yosef. The old mevi of the Beis Yosef shem b'shem Rabbeinu, the Re. Prisa shalom, k'mo kriya. When you say shalom aleichem to someone, it should be as if you were bowing down to them. That's how serious shalom aleichem should be. Aval shalom b'peh mutter k'mo tzafra demaritav. To say good morning, sir, is not a problem according to the Ber Heitev. Okiyotzebo, and anything else. Hello. Right? When you pick up a phone and say hello, you're not greeting the person on the other side of the phone. You don't know who's on the other side of the phone, bichlal. Hello means I'm ready to engage in conversation. I want to say hello is not a greeting of any sort whatsoever.
We have caller ID now.
So you say, we'll know when you call the Brick family. Is it hello? Or hello? You know, because they know who's calling. So then it really is a greeting. But most of us don't know who's calling, and we say hello, not to greet the person. So we see hello. I want to say that... You know the number, you know the family.
If you're having to program into your phone will show you.
So, by the way, if anyone disagrees with me, feel free to shoot in at any time. But I want to say that hello is not a greeting. Hello means I'm ready to engage in conversation.
I'm going to go available with my sir. They don't say hello.
You ship a house, you don't say hello. So why would you say hello until you say
yes? Okay, we're not talking about what you do or don't, what you should or shouldn't do. I want to know what the etzem halacha is. I want to know what the halacha is. So it's great. In a chenami, don't get me wrong. It's no problem to be more machmir than etzem halacha. But I want to say from the etzem halacha, hello and good morning, for sure, according to Ber Heitev, is completely permissible. Not that you should do it, make no mistake. I try to avoid it myself. But to someone who says good morning to say they violate Shela Shalom of Avelis or Antish Abav, you can't say that. Okay, let's continue. The Kasa of Shem B'Darki Moshe, the Zohar B'Kudei, Daf Kuf Gim Amral, Mashma De'enu Asar Rak Shem Mazkir Hashem. He wants to say that Ber Heitev furthermore, that the only greetings that are forbidden for an Avel or an Tisha B'Av is where you use God's name. Shalom Aleichem, right? Shalom is one of God's names. V'zeh sham le'inyin shalo yiten shalom chaverukum shispala. Same thing with saying good morning to someone before davening. If you don't use God's name, it's fine. V'shma mina shekol zeh she'anu nohagin inu b'chlal shelat shalom. And the Ber Heitev ends off that anything we do today, even shalom aleichem, doesn't have a din of shelat shalom b'zman hazeh. Ad k'dei kach. We don't have shelat shalom b'zman hazeh. You go to a big tzaddikim, like you go to Rav Yitzhak Zilberstein, says shalom aleichem to you like your Moshe Rabbeinu. He says shalom aleichem to every person in a very special way. Very few of those. So for those individuals, shalat shalom really is shalat shalom. But he says for us, we're just spewing phrases and meaningless words out of our mouth. Okay, but that's the Ber Heitev. He's a big makel, I guess you can call it, if you use the word kula for this issue. We have the Eliyahu Rabbah and the Aruch HaShulchan coming up with a bit of a different perspective on each of these things. The Eliyahu Rabbah says like this, Kasa b'yardeshim and shin pei hei, that's Hilchos Avelis. Yesh orim dezeh mashanu nostim shalom. that which we say shalom, including shalom aleichem, while mikri shalat shalom should be mayhem. Is not what shalom aleichem once was. Betzarich iun habetur cause of shalom aleichem v'gam v'gamar minu shalom aleichem rebbe. We see that the word shalom aleichem, the word itself, is inherently holy, is inherently a shalat shalom, including shalom aleichem rabbi, which the Chazal used for different purposes. V'achen ein lahakel. So he wants to say, the Eli Rabba, that shalom aleichem, you shouldn't be makel. Because it doesn't matter what you mean, according to Eli Rabba, it matters what it is. Ber Heita says it matters what it means, emotionally. The Eli Rabba says, no, it matters what it is. That which we say good morning in our day, the lo mikud shelat shalom, that is not shelat shalom. So good morning, according to Eli Rabba, is also okay. But he seems to conclude, I think Eli Rabba is concluding, that even though good morning is mutar mikra din, you should avoid that too on Tisha B'Av. Because for an aval is a kol aser. Yeah. Sorry?
If somebody greets you, it's embarrassing not to reply.
Right, so there we have the Shulchan Aruch, the first box at the top. It says very clearly, if you're greeted, you have to answer back. In a low tone, in a, you know. But absolutely, you're not allowed to embarrass another person, you have to answer them. Make no mistake. And finally, the Aruch HaShulchan. Handshakes on Tisha B'Av? I don't want to touch anyone who doesn't wash their hands. I don't shake hands on Tisha B'Av. I really don't. Again, what's Shalat Shalom? It all boils down to that. You're allowed to say, the postman say, you're allowed to say Mazel Tov on Tisha B'Av. You're allowed to say Ashakoch on Tisha B'Av. These aren't Shalat Shalom. So whether the handshake is included, Tzarich Yum. But it all boils down to what is halachically defined as Shalat Shalom. Okay, let's see the Aruch HaShulchan.
Also, what's the rationale for it? You do make someone feel good when you smile at them and you greet them and you pat them on the back and shake their hand. So, if the rationality in here is about mourning, so you're not facilitating someone else's mourning by greeting them and making them feel good.
So I thought about this question exactly this, al derech drush. I want to say, what is it? What's us about Shalat Shalom on Tisha B'Av and by Nagel? So I was thinking like this, I was thinking out loud and continuing to think out loud, is that our words, you know, we've all heard the Lashon Hara, the Vator, and all Lashon Hara, we all have the Chofetz Chaim Foundation where everywhere at all times. Putting that aside for a moment, we don't realize the power of our words. Our mouth defines whether a woman is an Eishes Ish or not. Hareat. Our words define the neder, define what's a neder, what's not a neder. The power of our words in Allah is tremendous. Putting Lashon Hara aside, because that's also tremendous, the veras you can do with one word, 16 of veras, whatever the count is. So I want to say that Shalom Aleichem, what is it? It's bestowing, evoking Hashem's name and a greeting for peace on another person. That's power. Right, we said that Avram Avinu was given a bracha, and the sons of Avram Avinu were giving a bracha that with the ability to give brachas. Our bracha from Avram Avinu is the ability to give brachas. So the value, the power of saying Shalom to another person, we take it for granted, but it's so powerful. It brings simcha, it brings blessing, it brings, and these, again, thinking out loud, that's what I conceptually see the prohibition of Shalat Shalom, is the power of our mouth and greeting another person with Hashem's name. Another Jew, bestowing God's name on him. It's like really huge, think about it. That's my conceptual perspective of Shalat Shalom. The Aruch HaShulchan, let's weigh him in on this good morning or hello or Shalat Shalom Aleichem. So these are like the Shalat Shalom Aser B'Tisha B'Av, the Einu Yom Shel Shalom K'mo Ba'Avel. It's not a day of peace. It's another angle, by the way. It's not a day of peace. It's a day of sadness and warfare and destruction and gloom and doom. That's another angle right here, another, you know, vort on the whole issue. K'mo Shekhar to the Yardish, and this is Hey, V'Sham Yesh Oymer, the Shalat Shalom Shalom, Lo Mikri Shalat Shalom. That our Shalom Aleichem is not true Shalat Shalom. Again, the Aruch HaShulchan is looking favorably upon the Shita that even if you don't mean it, doesn't matter, you said it. Right? If you don't mean a bracha, you make bori priya, you make a motzi on bread or for food, whatever it might be. If you don't have any kavana on the bracha, it's still a real bracha. You can't talk till you eat the food. Next time, have more kavana, but it doesn't invalidate your bracha. It doesn't invalidate your bracha if you have no kavana when you say something. That's the power of a bracha, the power of our words. Okay, next time I have kavana, but the power of our words makes a bracha chal on the food you want to eat, you can eat it. Lachen ein lahakel. So you should not be makel for shalom aleichem in any way, shape, or form. That yoto she'enim yodim adin v'nosim shalom achzirim lam besafar apa. And he quotes a Shulchan Aruch that someone who says shalom aleichem to you, says good morning to you, says shalom aleichem to you, you should answer them back. Yeah, the COVID rosh. Aval shalol hashiva klal ein nachon. You cannot not answer a person. G'day shalis bayesh. Lachen in leilech v'tayel b'tisha ba b'shuk b'rchov. One of the reasons you shouldn't go to Tayel in the Rechavot on Tisha B'Av is going to come to meet people. Are you going to be in a weird situation, awkward situation, not to greet them, to yes, greet them, they greeted you first, but you answer back? So for this reason alone, you shouldn't go walking among people on Tisha B'Av. V'lchen lomar b'Tisha B'Av tzafra d'maritav to say good morning. Good morning, ein lomar b'tisha b'av. So he wants to say, he comes out machmer, that you should even say good morning. On the side over here, I gave
you. If you have a phone call, so you should pick up without saying hello. Since you machmer even on the generic.
Good morning. Yeah.
Greetings.
Yeah. Yeah. The Aruch Hashem says you machmer even on.
When you're available, you go to a phone, that you just say yes. Instead of saying hello, would you say yes? That's not a greeting that you say yes. The same way in Tisha B'Av, you just say yes and just say hello.
Yeah, perhaps. So one way around it. We have over there on the slide the Leket Yosher, Daf Kuf Yud. So get this. Leket Yosher is the biggest maker of them all. Ma she'omer echad l'chaver b'dal Tisha B'Av, gute nacht, ein zeh she'elat shalom. Avo mikomakom hu lo amar. I don't know who it's talking about, but he says about somebody that even though good nacht is nikkered in mutter, this great tzaddik, whoever it is, didn't do it anyways. Het takti mi mahari aburanik sha etik mi morino rav pinchas sheshama meagon zatzal. I'm sorry, I don't know who the gon is. Hey chashash v'shol b'shol ma'ayim adav kablos v'shol m'leichem. Only thing forbidden by an avon, by Tisha B'Av, is the word shol m'leichem. Aval tov shabbos, tov yontif, gute nacht. Eino bichlal sheilat shalom. And Leket Yosher says these things are mutter lechatchila. Okay. Ad kana kafa beis. Sheilat shalom on Tisha B'Av.
Somebody who doesn't know the halacha comes to shalom. So everyone is saying you should answer him back.
Okay, so I think, very good, I like that, I thought about that briefly, but perhaps, even the Shulchan Aruch holds, that Mikra Adin, Shalom Aleichem of today is permissible, but we don't do the Chumrah. So on the Chumrah you're not Chochech Tochiach. What do you think of that? Understand?
Maybe you could say that is
Chochech
Tochiach, meaning Chochech Tochiach is the Chiyah, you still have to work with the strategy. What's the most effective way to give Tochacha? So just say you're how can you say this? You're a head, you know that's not so effective. Just answer softly. He's clearly learning. Ah, oh, I made a mistake. You're not embarrassed. It's an effective tool. They don't feel bad. They're not embarrassed. They say face, and now they remember. Oh yeah, Shaka should do that.
Wait, but what do you think of my idea that maybe the Shulchan hold Nicker did its mutter?
I agree with that also.
Yeah.
I think it's presumptive. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I see the Berhete says that, but I don't know that the Shulchan Aruch agrees that.
Right, it's not clear.
We need more variety. The Shulchan Aruch agrees more than this is like a very backhanded riot.
Unless you could say that Sheilat Shalom on Tisha B'Av has some kind of din that doesn't overpower Hocheich Tochiach, the need of Hocheich Tochiach. I don't. You can't call it a minig because it really is halacha and din, but maybe you can play in those fine lines that Hocheich Tochiach is not chal on something like Sheilat Shalom on Tisha B'Av.
Idea about hello, shalom. There's nothing. When you get a call from a telemarketer, what is it? How are you doing today? Like they really care.
Exactly.
Just
yeah.
It's just the way you.
Right.
Like,
Nimusim. That's what I mentioned. Right. Like I mentioned. Right. Yeah.
To not respond to someone is very embarrassing. You can even interrupt during parts of Kriya Shema.
Right. Make her a din. Right. Print the Mishnah. Right. I think you're saying. What I think you're saying is not answering is worse. Not answering someone, the embarrassing they might feel, is worse what they did. Your act of not answering is worse than their act of saying Shalom Aleichem. I think that's what you're saying.
Yeah,
ultimately, which I like that. I like that very much. That the power of embarrassing another person, especially on Tisha B'Av, embarrassing another Jew, outweighs any concern for what they did first. Very good, very good. I like that. Okay, I have a. We're not going to go through it right now, but I brought another piece, which is part on one side. You see where the heading begins on the part of the other side, from Minchas Aron. I said for Esat Masas Mordechai, I picked it up. I like the piece over here. I photocopied it from Rabbi Aaron Miasnik. Anyone know who this fellow is? No? I know. Rabbi Aaron Miasnik wrote Sefer Minchas Aron. I got it a week or two ago. And he talks about, interestingly, is there a mitzvah bichlal, Talmud Torah, and Tisha B'Av? Maybe there's no mitzvah at all. Maybe Chazal were okay, any mitzvah, Talmud Torah, and Tisha B'Av, and learning Eicha and Iyuv and Yirmiya are optional. But really, you can go the whole day without any Torah whatsoever. And some posts can discuss if you should even make Birchas HaTorah on Tisha B'Av. Aliba Deshitasam. Okay, but we won't go into it, but it's there for your enjoyment. I want to conclude with something I heard from the neighbor of Yosef Dov Soloveitchik. And he wants to say like this. Regarding showering during the 9 days, we're all an American crowd, and American crowds usually, for whatever reason, don't go 9 days to shower, for whatever reason might be. There's all kinds of different approaches. We're istinis, we can't take it anymore, whatever it might be, wash in cold water. But I saw this on the OU website. The Rav Yosef Soloveitchik said that conceptually, inherently, showering during the 9 days is a permissible act in our day and age. And why does he say this? He says because Chazal got the idea of not showering during the 9 days from Shloshim, from the laws of Shloshim. It used to be during Shloshim, they wouldn't shower or bathe for Shloshim. And Bizman Azeh, that halacha doesn't apply anymore. So he says like this, Rav Soloveitchik, if the source for the halacha of not showering during the 9 days no longer applies, i.e. in Shloshim, then for sure it doesn't apply for the 9 days. Because you took it out from the foundation.
Why doesn't it apply for Shloshim?
I don't know. But the Maisa, right, I don't know what the exact official authoritative definition is, but everyone agrees, drink Shloshim, you can take a shower. Since it was uprooted from here, it's uprooted from here, he said, Osloveitchik. Adkan, thank you for coming. Just a little bit of show and tell. I only brought 4 copies of the Sefer. If you want more, you could feel free to ask me, or free delivery. No pressure. I don't do this for the money. Don't worry. It's 100 different halachic issues from all over Shulchan Aruch, all kinds of different things, some many of which are non-Shulchan Aruch, in my style. So I'll leave a couple over here. Those who want them could have one. Feel free to take a look. No obligation. You could
actually do autographs from also.
Yeah. Thanks so much. Enjoy.
How much here?
80 shekels, please. Of course, if I don't want to break anybody's bank, you know, whatever it might be, if less is... thanks so much. Yeah, thanks so much.
That's fine. Thank you.
Thank you. You have 120 yet?
Oh, yeah, I might.